welcome you to the Holistic Health Show. I'm Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host. Today, we have three more guests who will speak on different aspects of back pain. My first guest is Dr. Elizabeth Lombardo. Elizabeth completed her master's in physical therapy at Duke University, and after working at a major medical center, discovered that people faced with physical challenges dealt with them differently depending upon their psychological state. In an effort to better help others, she returned to school and obtained a doctorate in clinical psychology at MCP Hahnemann University. She now helps clients decrease stress in their lives and enhance their happiness. She has been featured on CNN, MSNBC, Red Book, Self Magazine, Woman's Day, Glamour, Arthritis Today, and Cancer Care, and has published in peer-reviewed journals and general public publications. She co-authored Cognitive Behavioral Case Formulation and Treatment Design, a Problem-Solving Approach, and has an upcoming book titled A Happy You, Your Ultimate Prescription for Happiness. More information is available at www.controlstressforgood.com. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Elizabeth, and I look forward to hearing about your approach to treating back pain.
Thank you so much for having me here, Carl.
Thank you. Most people want to go to bed and rest when they have back pain, and I know that's what I wanted to do when I had mine. In fact, I did, and then I had trouble getting out of bed. So tell us why this makes the condition worse.
Well, one of the problems with back pain is that there tends to be some muscle tightness and some muscle weakness. When you get into bed, when you relax and rest and don't move for a while, your muscles atrophy. And this happens if you take the strongest man in the world or strongest woman in the world and put them in bed for even one day, their muscles would start to atrophy and their muscles would start to get tighter. And so we don't want to do that. We're not suggesting that you go out and run a marathon. Obviously, we don't want to go to the other extreme. But maintaining your range of motion, doing some gentle stretching, some gentle exercises can be so vital to lubricate the joints, to make sure that the joints have liquid in them, because our joints, if you think about the Tin Man? Remember the Tin Man in The Wizard of Oz? And Dorothy kept having to put oil into his joints in order for him to move. Some people out there are listening might be able to relate to that in terms of how they feel with their back. They just feel like they can't move. When you move your joint, it actually causes synovial fluid to start lubricating the joint, to start kind of greasing that joint, and then it makes it easier to do. So what I recommend people do is, even before they get out of bed in the morning, is to start by doing some gentle range of motion. And that could be lying on your back with your feet down, your knees up in the air, and just gently moving your knees from one side to the other. That will get some range of motion in your back and make it easier to get out of bed.
And what types of exercises are best for people who have chronic pain?
Well, so again, some of that is the range of motion, just making sure that you're moving it. We know the old adage, you don't use it, you lose it. I can't even think of what it is. You don't use it, you lose it. So just making sure that you move. Gentle stretching is very important. Again, when our muscles are tight, it causes the bones to be pulled together closer, which can happen with, like, arthritis. So we want to make sure that we stretch out. And when we're talking about stretching, we're talking about the low back. We're also talking about muscles that are attached to the hips, such as the hamstrings, for example. I've worked with clients before who their tight hamstrings were the primary cause of their back pain, because your hamstrings are actually attached to your, for lack of a better term, your butt bones. And so you can think about it. If your hamstrings are tight, it's going to cause a torsion or a rotation in your hips that's going to cause your back to be out of alignment. So stretching the hips, the hamstrings, your low back can be really important. Another component then is strengthening. Strengthening particularly the abdominal. We've probably all heard of the core muscles and strengthening some of them. But just by doing, if partial crunches are too hard, which they probably are for people who are having back pain at the time, again, going on your back, feet on the floor or on the bed, and just rotating your pelvis as if there was a grape underneath the small of your back and you're trying to push it down.
Mm-hmm.
That little rotation is actually starting to strengthen the abdominals in your body and can help you with your back pain.
Mm-hmm. Then, Elizabeth, are there some easy behavioral changes we can make to reduce or even prevent pain?
Yeah, so some of the behavioral changes are how you stand and what your body mechanics are, how you move. So, for example, if you think about how you get into a car, a lot of people get into the car by sticking one foot in and then the other.
Mm-hmm.
People with back pain, that puts a huge stress on you.
Mm-hmm.
So what I recommend people do is when they open the car door is they sit down first, they put their bottom in first, and then they move both of their legs and their body as a unit
mm-hmm.
to get into the car.
Mm-hmm.
Something that's simple, which you might say, oh, I don't need to do that, but if you can do something that's simple that's not going to take a lot of time, it can really prevent problems down the road.
Mm-hmm.
Another helpful thing to do, for example, when I'm working with someone who has trouble standing up for a while, but their job or their responsibilities mandate that they stand up, is that they put their foot up on something like a, maybe phone books. I don't know if people still have phone books, but those phone books, you can consider how tall that is, and
mm-hmm.
put one foot on that and one foot on the floor. That helps to maintain your pelvis in a proper neutral position and can just be helpful if you have to stand for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Extension is another important thing. For some people, backs hurt more when they're standing, and for some people when they're sitting. For people for whom pain hurts more when they're sitting, you want to consider standing up and extending, because sitting puts torsion on you. It puts pressure on your back. So by counteracting that, by standing up, putting your hands on your hips, and leaning backward, that can literally change the mechanics of what's happening with your disc and in your spine.
Mm-hmm.
What I recommend people do is if they have pain when they're sitting for prolonged periods of time, figure out how long it is. So, for example, I was working with a client the other day, and she noticed that after about a half an hour of sitting, her back pain started really increasing, and she was getting it down her leg and that kind of thing. So at 25 minutes now, and she sets her clock to remind her every 25 minutes, she simply stands up, puts her hands on her hips, and leans back a couple times. And
mm-hmm.
that counters that flexion torsion. And that in and of itself can get rid of her pain.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
Another thing to consider in terms of our behaviors is what we are doing. I have worked with so many people who I call it all or nothing thinking. So they don't do anything. We talked before, they stay in bed or they don't move for a while. And then they get so frustrated with themselves, with their condition, that they go out and do what they used to do. So I was working with a gentleman who, it was summertime, and he was so frustrated looking out at his grass. It was just overflowing, growing, and every time he saw it, he just was beating himself up and so upset about it. So he said, you know what, forget it. I'm just going to go out and do it. And for an hour and a half, he cut the grass.
Mm-hmm.
So he went from nothing to an hour and a half of cutting the grass. Guess what?
Mm-hmm.
His back hurt more the next day. Why? Mm-hmm. Because he overdid it. So pacing yourself. We call it behavioral pacing or behavioral modification. Pacing yourself is so important. You might not be able to do everything that you used to be able to do, but figuring out how can I break this into smaller components
mm-hmm.
and make them doable. And the great thing about that is it helps your mind too, because we all know when we're having pain and if we're sitting and we're thinking about our pain and we're focused about our pain and we're thinking about how horrible the pain is and how it's ruining our lives, it becomes a vicious cycle in terms of what we're saying to ourselves, in terms of what we do, so we don't do anything, and we just get into that cycle. By starting to do some things, we can see that, you know what, pain doesn't have to control my life. Yes, it's a part of my life right now, but it doesn't have to control my life, and I can take control back.
Mm-hmm.
And it really can help people feel better about themselves and feel more hopeful.
Mm-hmm. Now, can you tell us, Elizabeth, about the role of stress in back pain?
Yes, there's a huge role of stress in back pain. And I have to preface this by sharing with people as a psychologist. I'm also a physical therapist, but as a psychologist, when my clients are referred to me and I meet them for the first time, there's often a scowl on their face and their arms are crossed and they look at me like, I have no desire to see you. And in their mind, their doctor has said, you're crazy, you need to see the shrink.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to preface, as we talk about the role of stress on back pain, I want to preface this by saying, I don't think my clients are crazy. I know they're not crazy. I know their pain is very real, whether medically we can figure out why they're having the pain or not. The pain is very real. With that in mind, it is important to remember that our minds and our bodies are so connected. And I know, Carl, you're fully aware of that. I'm sure a lot of your listeners are. I think sometimes we forget, though. So take someone who doesn't have chronic back pain or doesn't have back pain yet, and they have, let's say, a stressful day. It's not uncommon to hear people say, oh, my neck's killing me, or my head is killing me. So stress can cause pain. It may not be the primary cause. There may be something else going on, but it can make it worse. And then what happens? When we have stress, we feel more pain. When we have more pain, we feel stressed. So when I'm working with clients from a psychological standpoint of view, and I do that a lot with my patients with chronic pain, because we address that stress level. We address what you're saying to yourself. So for a lot of people who've had pain for a while, it's, I can't do anything. I'm worthless. People think I'm faking this. You know, I should be able to do this. Maybe I am just being lazy. And there's this negative self-talk. It's almost like they've got boxing gloves on and they're just beating themselves up. They don't necessarily realize that they're doing it, or they don't realize that they don't have to do it. And that's why addressing your stress, not just the emotional part of it, like doing relaxation, which is very important, but also the cognitive part of it, what you're saying to yourself, how accurate is it, and what you can do if it's not so accurate. And in terms of how accurate is your thinking, when we're having these thoughts and they're often automatic, we don't even realize we're having them, it's tough to stop and say, how helpful is my thinking being? So I actually have sheets for my clients, and if I'll give the website if people want to go. They're free downloads. It's ahappyyou.com, A-H-A-P-P-Y-Y-O-U.com, and there's a list of what we call cognitive distortions, which are thinking errors. They're inaccurate and unhelpful ways of thinking. And when we have these, it can perpetuate our stress as well as our pain. So as an example, I mentioned this before, but looking at it a little more closely, is the use of the word should. I should. I should be able to handle this. I should be able to do more. That is a judgment that is basically beating yourself up. So you have more stress, you feel worse about yourself, and your body reacts and your behaviors react accordingly. So addressing some of that negative self-talk and some of that self-talk that is not, in fact, accurate or helpful can truly transform not only your stress levels, but also your physical pain.
When you mentioned that, Elizabeth, I thought of a self-contract. And one of the things that you identify in a self-contract when you're trying to motivate yourself to lose weight or whatever, have a behavioral change, one of the things that you look at are, what are my harmful thoughts and what are my helpful thoughts? So I think that's very important in a lot of areas of behavioral change.
There's no doubt there is. Absolutely. Another one that people with chronic back pain have a fair amount is what we call mind reading, where you assume you know what the other person is thinking. So, for example, if I'm working with a woman who's a mom and her husband says, oh, were you not able to go to the store today because of your pain? What she hears is, oh, you're useless and you're being lazy because you're using your pain as an excuse. And you can imagine if that is her interpretation, her stress level goes up and her pain goes up. So really figuring out, what are you saying to yourself, as you said, what are your helpful thoughts and not so helpful thoughts, and then how accurate they are. And if they're not accurate or helpful, let's change them.
Then, Elizabeth, are there some ways we can use our brain to help with reducing our pain?
Yeah, so it's that concept. I have a saying, it's change your brain and get more champagne. Change your brain and get more champagne. Not the alcohol, but the bubbles, the excitement, the passion, the positive energy. We can have happiness and less stress regardless of what goes on in life, even chronic pain. And I say that with hesitation because I respect and understand that chronic pain is a huge stressor. I also have worked with scores and scores of people to help them change their interpretation, change their self-concept, change that distorted thinking we were talking about, and then they're able to do things totally different. They're able to experience things totally different. Let me give an example. I was working with a gentleman who had kids with neck and back pain, and they couldn't figure out what's going on, and the medications weren't working. And he came in, and I said, well, what would you do if you didn't have pain? If you didn't have this pain, and you had all this free time, because going to the doctor's office takes up a lot of time, what would you do? And immediately he said, I would fly. I've always wanted to get my pilot's license. So we said, well, you know what? let's just go for that. And so we worked with the referring physician to get his pain level down so that he was off the medication, and he started flying. Mm. He learned how to fly. And he told me that when he was flying, his pain, and anyone who's had chronic pain knows the pain scale from 0 to 10, mm-hmm. his pain was a 0. Mm. And yet when he was on the ground, it was an average 6 or 7.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not because he's making his pain up. It's because our brains can only focus on a finite amount of information.
Mm-hmm.
And for him, he was able to put pain on the back burner or off to the side and focus on flying and making sure he wasn't flag mm-hmm. flying and not going down. And so that focus and attention was very helpful to him.
Mm-hmm.
So for a lot of people out there, it's changing that negative self-talk. It's also changing your focus.
Mm-hmm.
And I respect it's not easy to not think about your pain, and just the notion of me saying don't think about your pain actually causes your brain to, in fact, think about your pain even more. So it's finding things that you enjoy doing, mm-hmm. things that you can get lost in cognitively mm-hmm. in terms of your thinking. For some people, it's reading, or it's a craft that they enjoy doing, or it's being with their loved ones. But finding something for you that you truly enjoy doing.
Mm-hmm.
And remembering what we talked about earlier about that all or nothing. So if you, great example, I was working with a woman and she had chronic back pain and she loved animals. When she was young, she had a dog. She always wanted a dog. And so when I was talking to her about this, she said, yeah, but I can't get a dog. You're right. At this point in life, you having a dog would be more of a stressor. However, what we did was we got on the internet and we found a dog shelter that didn't euthanize its inhabitants, and she started volunteering there.
Mm-hmm.
And she would go and spend about 15 minutes with different dogs, petting them, loving them. And therapeutically, for the dogs, it was incredible. And for her, it was incredible. Her pain decreased. Her depression decreased. Her self-esteem was better. Her happiness level was better because this was one of her strengths and values. So realizing that despite where you are right now, mm-hmm. and this is what I hope everyone hears, despite where you are right now, despite if the medical team can figure out why you're experiencing your pain or how best to treat it, regardless of that, there are changes that you can make in your brain and in your behaviors that can truly transform your life.
Mm-hmm. Are there other things then, Elizabeth, that you would like to mention before we look at books, services, and products?
Just understanding that a lot of this, some people may be hearing this and saying, yeah, that may work for you, but, or that may work for them, but these are skills. And these are skills that require training in mm-hmm. some way. And it may be training. I've seen other people do it, so I it's come second nature to me. And for some people, it's, well, you know what, I need a little extra help on this.
Mm-hmm.
I use the example, I don't play golf. And mm-hmm. if you gave me a golf club and a bunch of golf balls and put me on the golf course for a day, I could develop some really terrible habits.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I bet I could just botch any kind of swing out there. And if I kept practicing, I would get really good at my really bad technique.
Mm-hmm.
I think so often people with chronic pain and chronic stress, we try to do things, they're not working, and we keep trying them.
Mm-hmm.
And we think we're stuck because what we're doing isn't working.
Right.
And if that is anyone out there, please hear me say that there are new ways, there are different approaches that can be helpful to you.
Mm-hmm.
And remembering that different approaches are going to feel different to different people. So, for example, relaxation, we touched on that. Relaxation is a very important component of chronic back pain management. That doesn't mean you have to sit cross-legged and say om for 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
It could be diaphragmatic breathing, deep breathing. It could be self-hypnosis or meditation. Figure out which ones feel right to you and give them a try. But mm-hmm. know that there are just countless options out there. So if what you're doing right now isn't working for you as well as you want it to, know that there are other things out there.
Mm-hmm.
And Carl, I know you do a terrific job at educating your listeners about a lot of the different other options out there.
Mm-hmm. Well, I appreciate this. Now, would you tell us about your books, services, products, and how the listeners can reach you?
Absolutely. I have a new book out. It's called A Happy You, Your Ultimate Prescription for Happiness. And it's all about how to have less stress and more happiness regardless of what goes on in life.
Mm-hmm.
The book starts with a patient with whom I was working who had had an electrical accident, and they had to amputate both of his arms mm-hmm. in order to save his life. And while most people, including myself, before I met this gentleman, thought, oh my gracious, this guy's going to be so depressed, he was extremely happy, saw that his life had been, he was focusing on the fact that his life had been saved, not that his arms were gone. He knew his arms were gone, he wasn't denying that, but he really was focusing on what his purpose here on life was. And he had true happiness in his heart. So if he could have true happiness in his heart, I think that a lot of us could look at what we're dealing with right now and say, you know what, maybe there are changes that we can make. So if people go to ahappyyou.com, they can actually download the first chapter for free. And I've got all kinds of free resources that will be very helpful for people with chronic pain or any kind of stress that they're going through.
Now, are you available to people?
Absolutely, yes. If you go to ahappyyou.com, you can click on the contact me. I do coaching. Again, my background is in physical therapy and clinical psychology. So I work a lot with people with chronic pain, chronic back pain. And a lot of times I meet with folks on the telephone for, you know, a half hour once a week, and we develop some goals. We do some educational training, like what we were talking about before, and then they go try it out. They come back. They say, this is what worked. This didn't. And we really help transform their life. So I encourage people, if they're interested in that, to go to ahappyyou.com, send me an email, and we can touch base and see how we might be able to work together.
Great. Well, I appreciate this, Elizabeth. It's been very interesting, as always, and I know that it offered encouragement and information for the public.
Well, thank you, Carl, and again, I so applaud what you're doing, helping the world with these issues.
Thank you. My second guest is Dr. Sigmund Miller. Sigmund has been a chiropractor since 1977, practicing in Florida and California. He is currently the executive director of the Association of New Jersey Chiropractors. He is married and has 23-year-old triplets. More information is available at www.anjc.com. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Sig, and I look forward to hearing about the role of chiropractors in chronic back pain. First, can you give me a little background on your role with the Association of New Jersey Chiropractors?
Well, Carl, it'd be my delight, and I appreciate you you having me on. I'm a chiropractor for about 35 years, and about 5 years ago, I came on as their executive director. And actually, what simply happened was the state unified. There were several organizations. They came together as one, so now we have a very strong voice. We represent about 1,600 doctors. There are probably about 60,000 chiropractors nationwide, and we have one of the largest associations, about the fourth largest in the country. And our main objective here is to help doctors serve the public at large and helping them to improve their quality of life and making sure the chiropractic is on their menu of other health alternatives when they have certain conditions that they need treatment for or want to maintain a high level of wellness.
Great. And what role do chiropractors play in healthcare?
Well, it is a very significant role, and as the years continue to pass, they assume a greater and greater responsibility. First and foremost, we are considered physicians, and most in the public believe us to be doctors dealing with bones, backs, neck aches, and muscle pains. But we are experts in the nervous system, which is the master system that controls all function of the body. So we not only deal with joint-related problems, we also deal with overall wellness. And a large percentage of our population of patients involves moms and kids, and that's a surprise to many. The bottom line is we're looking to help people improve the quality of their life so they can enjoy the things that they want to and need to do most.
And why do you think that back pain is in epidemic proportions in the United States?
Well, I mean, many have debated that. The fact is, it is. And since the vast majority of people at some point in their lives do experience back pain, the concern is what to do about it. Most back problems are self-limiting. In other words, they come and they go. And sometimes they disappear in spite of what doctors do, whether it's chiropractors, medical doctors, physical therapists, massage therapists. The problem is that it recurs. And it recurs in spite of treatment received. It recurs because of lifestyle, sedentary lifestyle. It's never gotten any worse than it is now, sitting in front of the computers, excessive weight gain, simply we used to walk and do things. We talked earlier about being younger and the kind of life we used to lead. But at this point, just look at children and their issues with obesity and weight gain. So the point is, lifestyle is the problem. Inactivity is the problem. And what results is neck and back problems and what to do about it. And that's why we're talking.
Now, I think you started to answer the next question, and that is, what does the general public need to do to minimize chronic back pain?
Well, they need to get up and move. They need to start realizing that activity is life. And first and foremost, they have a great deal of responsibility in not looking to the physician only as a passive solution to the problem. You can't do well in spite of what you do. So the first thing is simply exercising, activity, and making it fun. So, you know, we know in January everybody has a resolution, and then by February they're not doing it. So you have to embrace a lifestyle change that's comfortable for you and not overbearing. The next thing, obviously, is in seeking health care, chiropractors are very very skilled in helping to set up programs that are nutrition-based, activity and exercise-based. And, of course, in getting treatment, we focus on the spinal adjustment, which is there to reduce nerve interference, to free up nerve supply to areas throughout the body to maintain good health, and to encourage the patient to maintain more of a lifestyle that's consistent with wellness and improving the quality of their lives.
And a person that has chronic back pain, how often would they come to a chiropractor initially?
Well, it would be no different than any other doctor. First of all, let's assume most patients go because they're experiencing acute pain. For whatever reason, many times they have no idea why they woke up one morning and they can't get out of bed. So in the beginning, like most, the doctor will do a thorough initial exam. They may see them several times during the initial weeks. And as the patient improves, and they do, and the satisfaction levels are very high regarding when patients go to the chiropractor, they start to feel better. They start to return to a more active lifestyle. And then probably following the initial month of care and a number of visits, the visits taper. They take on more of an active approach to their care with exercise. And then the doctor will typically discharge them to be seen as needed, specific to that episode of back pain.
I'll tell you a little story. I injured my back, and I went to the physician, and of course I was on steroids and then physical therapy, et cetera, et cetera. I finished with physical therapy, and the therapist said, well, we're finished, and I said, but I still have pain. And she said, oh, well, that's arthritis. You'll have that the rest of your life. I said, but I don't accept that. I didn't have pain 6 months ago. I don't expect to have it the rest of my life. Arthritis shouldn't come on that quickly. So three people told me about going to chiropractors, and I have a strong faith in God, and I believe that God speaks to me in many ways, and sometimes it's through other people. And so I searched out a chiropractor who was recommended by a close friend, and I went, and I haven't had back pain for 2 or 3 years. So it wasn't arthritis, and the chiropractor took care of it.
Well, Carl, your story really exemplifies what many have experienced. And all we look to in being part of a healthcare system is simply to be on the menu. It would be nice if patients may seek out a chiropractor initially, but if not, that's fine. Weeks, days later, whatever it might be, seeking the chiropractor sooner than later, I think, is key. And one other point, lots of patients start out going to the chiropractor because they have a neck or back problem or an arm or shoulder problem, and that's certainly understandable. The biggest surprise is how they come to see that we are a cultural authority on wellness. And as we start talking to them about things they can do, many chiropractors then are interacting with patients who have adopted more of a chiropractic lifestyle. And that means they may come in periodically for their overall well-being, more in a preventive capacity. And that's what's happening more and more today as more and more patients seek chiropractic care and chiropractors throughout, throughout New Jersey and the country.
Being one that is interested in natural solutions, I think that chiropractors are at an advantage in that they aren't allowed to prescribe the harmful drugs, and so they have learned the herbal, the supplemental things that will deal with pain and the other things that come along. And I think that's an advantage. Am I correct?
Well, I would agree. I mean, I think that when you deal with chiropractors, aside from, again, adjusting the spine to reduce nerve interference, they are focused on nutrition and well-being. And they are very skilled in this area with proper diet, weight loss, and so on. But having said that, we work very closely with medical physicians, the allopathic physicians as well. And there's a reason. There are times where we need to be co-managing certain patients. During certain phases of their problems, they may need a medication for a short period of time. So that is important, but it's obviously the abuse or excessive use of medications or the fact that they're using that as a replacement for what they really need to do. So everybody needs to improve on that mindset, and we're playing a part in that, and that's a good thing.
I think that's a good point, because I think of my sister. She has sciatica, and she has a problem with the piriformis muscle, and she has stenosis, etc. And she was in a lot of pain, and she went to the chiropractor for a long time and then reached a point where it was not doing what needed to be done, and she's now in a pain management clinic with a physician. And eventually we'll go back to the chiropractor. So I think that's a good point, that you work closely with physicians and that patients sometimes go back and forth depending upon what their needs are.
Absolutely. There's no magic bullet. There's no one-size-fits-all. The fact is that I'm very grateful to the medical community at large for all they do and how they help improve patients' overall well-being. We just need to play a vital role in that, because there are certain patients that need and want chiropractic care, and others that have no other alternatives than find, as you said, an answer by seeing the chiropractor. So we just and all just need to play nice in the sandbox, and I think that's what's happening more and more as time passes.
Right. Now, you're a relatively new player in the healthcare field, are you not?
Oh, absolutely. I think, you know, chiropractic is, you know, more than 100 years in existence. But when you're looking right now at alternative healthcare, and I'm concerned using that term because it is considered alternative, but it is mainstream. But the point is that other than those seeking the medical doctor and medical solutions, the public reaches out more to chiropractors as an alternative healthcare than any other. It's called CAN, the Complementary and Alternative Medicine Model. And so we're happy with that, but we are more mainstream now, and that's a good thing.
Right. Is there anything else you would like to say, Sig, before you tell us how people can reach you and any services or products or books that you may have?
Well, thank you very much. The most important thing is quality of life, to get people to realize what they want to do, the activities they enjoy most. It's all about how you can maintain a high level of wellness and good health so you can do that. I just want people to consider, as they move in that direction, that chiropractic should be one of the items on the top of their menu, and that's a good thing. If they have questions, we have a public service website. It's NJ for New Jersey, New Jersey, NJ Chiropractors, that's plural, .com, njchiropractors.com, and there's lots of information there. And then through that, they can email or send us a contact us by phone, and we could we can go from there. But I want to emphasize, since this is national, every state association has their own association and contact, so they should take advantage of seeking that out.
Great. And how would they go about doing that? Can they Google for their state association?
There are several ways, but the easiest way is if they type in the state and then they say, for example, Colorado State Association or Connecticut Chiropractic State Association. It'll come right to the top. They can click, and then they can go over there and find out who to contact.
Great. Well, I appreciate this, Sig. It's been very interesting, and I'm hoping that people will become a little more aware of the role of chiropractors in healthcare.
Carl, it's been my pleasure, and thanks for all you do in reaching out to people with this kind of very much needed information.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
My last guest is Gary Sandman. Gary is Chief Executive Officer and founder of Individualized Health Solutions, LLC, / Signature Supplements. He has worked for over 30 years to help integrate natural and contemporary medicine. He developed a template for credentialing standards used nationally to assess and identify quality, alternative, and complementary practitioners. He was also co-chair of the congressionally mandated form on integrative medicine and has extensive experience in startup companies in the nutritional field. He is currently writing a book on healing and another about his time spent with Rolling Thunder, a native Indian medicine man who appeared in the movie Billy Jack. More information is available at www.signaturesupplements.com. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Gary, and I look forward to hearing about your injuries and how you dealt with them.
Well, thank you, Carl.
Thank you. Now, first, Gary, tell us about your automobile accidents.
Well, you know, they say lightning doesn't strike twice in the same place, and I would have to say that usually, you know, one car accident per lifetime is enough. Well, I actually had three car accidents. Each one of them was not my fault. Once I was at the riding in the back of a friend's automobile, and we were stalled behind a bunch of traffic on the Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco, and a person behind us wasn't paying attention and slammed into the back of the car. And that was the first accident that I was ever involved in, or where, and the first time I ever was hurt in anything. And it was a eye-opener to see what medicine, our regular medicine, provided for us versus alternative medicine. Because I went to see the regular MD, and he sent me to someone who is a surgeon. And I'm going, why am I going to a surgeon? He says, well, that's because we fix backs through surgery. I said, well, isn't there something in between of doing nothing versus going to a surgeon? And he said, well, there's some other things out there, but they're not very helpful. And that was when the rebel in me said, well, there's got to be something out there that's helpful. And I had been involved with alternative medicine, mostly from a scholarly point of view. And I thought, well, here's an opportunity. Let me start testing and using this stuff. So I went, found a chiropractor through my friends that was knowledgeable in spine care. I found an acupuncturist who also treated people with pain, back pain, a massage therapist that wasn't there to give me a pleasurable massage, but to help loosen the muscles that were reacting in a way that they were like frozen in place from the car accident. And I even went to a an herbalist who recommended me to take vitamins, because they said, well, when your body is in this crisis state, you need to give it more nutrients so it can help heal itself. So I had a whole battery of folks taking care of me, and by the time of going back to the regular doctor for the insurance company settlement, he said, you know, you're okay, you're good. I really can't help you. You're not a good candidate for surgery. So I said, okay, great. I really am happy to hear that. And so through my treatment phases of seeing my chiropractor and my acupuncturist and my physical therapist also, because not only did they help reduce the pain and return functionality, they showed me exercises that I needed to help maintain to keep my back stronger and be helpful that way. And I did have one episode. Well, not to get ahead of myself, but my second car accident, I basically went back to the same folks. And they got me through that process even quicker because I had, say, been there, done it with my treatment. So this was a repeat accident. Somebody rear-ended me when I was at a stop sign and had the same issues as prior. So I was, you know, re-hurt in effect. And this time the pain was a little deeper because of the severity of the accident. And I was going through my treatments and I was feeling better, but there was still a lingering pain in my back, and I was working on my feet a lot. I was in trade shows. I was constantly active. And one of the nice aspects of working in the holistic health field is that you do get access to the doctors. And one of the doctors that I was working with saw that I was in a lot of pain still, and there was just this lingering back pain that was starting to radiate down my leg, which, you know, is one of the that nerve there is one of the largest in the body and very painful when it gets inflamed. And so he said, come to the office tomorrow and we'll look at it. And part of my job, I was at a lot of trade shows and on my feet all the time. So it was just constantly, that constant pain, as you all know, that suffer from it, it was just starting to get to my head. So I went over to his office and he was introducing me to homeopathy, which is a very old source of treatment where the doctor uses a very diluted liquid that he would say start out with poison ivy that he would put in water and then pour that water out and dilute it 100 times, then dilute that water 100 times so that there was no physical, if you were to measure the molecules in that water, there would be no molecule associated with poison ivy, but there would be an energetic relationship in that water, that poison ivy energy was in it. And from the law of attraction and also of healing, according to that, of like cures like, that poison oak or poison ivy, when that diluted, would actually act as a medicine and counteract poison ivy symptoms, sort of like what you do with snake bite. Well, that became a huge arm of alternative medicine hundreds of years ago. So he was offering that to me. And I said, well, that sounds pretty interesting. And I had heard about homeopathy. And the good thing about it, it was like you're basically just taking water. And so there was no negative side effects. So he gives me a couple pills out of a bottle. He pulls out of this shelf that has hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pills on it. And he said, here, try this. And no sooner after I had just put it in my mouth, I spun around behind me because I swore someone had taken their hand, put it at the top of my neck, and just gently slid down my spine with their hand. Mm-hmm. And I looked, he goes, what's happened? I said, well, I thought someone was behind me. And he said, well, why do you say that? And he said, I felt someone's hand start at the base of my neck and go all the way down to my tailbone, as if someone was touching me. And he said, well, we've got the energy going in the right direction. And you see, there's nobody out there, just us. So he gave me another pill that was for another symptom, because I was describing what I was feeling now, is that it was as if there was a rock, a hard stone in the back of my spine. Mm-hmm. And out of that hard stone was radiating like little thunderbolts of pain. And he says, okay, here, now try this one. So I put it under my tongue, and this time it took about 5 seconds, but I could feel as if it was a fist. Let's say, like you just make a hard fist and squeeze it as hard as you can. And that was the state I was in. And then I felt as if the hand just relaxed, and it opened up, and the pain was gone. I said, Doc, I don't feel any more pain. It was like that stone just pulverized itself, or that hard fist just opened up and relaxed, and everything's okay. And he goes, great. Let me know how he goes. Well, I never had that pain.
Do you know what that was?
I don't recall, because what he explained to me is that it's not one-size-fits-all medicine.
Mm-hmm.
That my connection, whatever that was, that hard stone, was part of a reaction to that pain that I needed to have addressed, and it wasn't just like, oh, lower back pain.
Mm-hmm.
It was connected to my emotional side, my intellectual side, the course of the injury and stuff. So he said everyone that would come in for the same illness or the same pain would receive a different personalized treatment, but one which could happen just as well as that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that kind of was my experience for the second time that I had a rear-ended car accident that gave me whiplash and aggravated my lower back. And using the same treatments of the first time of having a good chiropractor and an acupuncturist, physical therapist, and this time I used the homeopath, and the results were instantaneous.
Mm-hmm.
And that seemed like that was the icing on the cake, is to add that homeopathic response.
Mm-hmm.
The last time I got hurt was the same thing. I just was able to follow the same pattern. This time I was on the East Coast in Washington, D.C., so I had to find new practitioners for it. And I did add an osteopath to it, because they have that subtlety of knowledge about the human body and the energy patterns, as well as the muscle patterns and nerve patterns, that he was able to calm down so that my body was able to relax those muscles instead of stay in a constant alert phase, because the body when it's hurt like that, tends to want to protect itself and tighten up. And and over time, it freezes in that state, and an osteopath is terrific for being able to release that. So my journey taught me enough that I had started actually a referral service and got into the nutrition business of helping people, because I saw that what the regular medical doctor offered was nowhere near the care and the ability for the alternative medicine practitioners to help me.
So would you like to tell us then a little bit about your products and services?
Sure. They were born out of necessity, basically. In my work with doctors and alternative medicine practitioners, I've always tried to bring them together, because I feel that it's a unified approach to our health. Is that holistic approach is what I think is critical, especially for chronic illness. And when I was hurt, the doctors, the nutritionists, and the osteopaths that I went to were constantly saying, make sure you're taking a good multivitamin, that you're taking, that you got enough calcium, magnesium, because your body needs these raw materials to heal itself. And as genetics started to develop, they would say, now, part of the issue, though, is that you may need more or less than the next person based on your genes. So you want to be able to have it individualized for you. And I found that very few doctors offered that service, and it was very expensive. It was a couple $1,000s to do a full profile to determine what our unique needs are for supplements. In fact, how many of us have seen or heard a recent scientific report that said high carbohydrate diet is the best way to lose weight? And then a week later, it's the opposite. It's high protein diet is the best way to lose weight. And so we're listening to this as someone who wants to lose weight and go, well, how can they say it's good for high carb, and then the next thing it's high protein? That's contradiction. And as we started to look at that, we realized it wasn't a contradiction, it was the truth. It just didn't look like the truth went the way it came out, because what we found out is that those results were correct for specific subgroups of individuals. You may be a high carbohydrate person, and I could be a high protein person. So when we want to lose diet, we need to make sure we're doing the diet that works best for us. Now, that is extrapolated through our whole health, that you may need more vitamin C, and I may need more B12 than you. And if we're not, if we're both taking a multivitamin off the shelf, it may not be, you know, giving us the right amount that we need, or it could be giving us too much. So as a person who had been through this so many times in my life because of my accidents, I met a doctor who had actually spent 30 years of research and was able to determine each of our unique nutritional profile. And from that, you could determine what supplement you needed to take to balance out your system differently than you would the person next to you. And that was, to me, the holy grail, that finally we could find out and honor our uniqueness and determine the fact that no wonder not everybody gets well when you give them all the same treatment. Because not everybody needs the same treatment. Just like with the homeopathy, I needed a particular dosage of these two particular pills, versus you may have needed, you know, three treatments from this other pill that was totally related to what your needs were. So I started a business and built a team of scientists and doctors and naturopaths and nutritionists and alchemists to work with us to develop a simple, very inexpensive method to be able to determine what symptoms that you have that are related to direct nutritional imbalances. And once we were able to do those, we could then determine what nutrients you needed to balance your unique needs. And so our company's signature supplements were on the internet. Instead of thousands of dollars for the test, we're able to produce a test for $30 per person. It's on the internet. You're able to just click on to signature supplements and take the assessment, and you'll get a 25-page report of the supplements you need to take, the food you need to take, food you need to avoid, your exercise pattern that's best for you. Some people need to run 5 miles a day. Others need to do yoga for half an hour. They both get the same benefits by doing what's best for them. And so what we do is we help identify for people what's best for them in the fields of supplements, vitamins and minerals, of foods to eat and not to eat, exercises to do, lifestyle choices, dietary habits. Each one of those are personalized, as we're able to find the symptoms that you have that are the warning signs of your body saying, hey, you're giving me too much B6. I can't handle this anymore. Right. I'm losing my focus and stuff because I got too much.
Now, can you give us your website?
Oh, yes, I'd be glad to. It's www.signature, as in the way you'd write your name, signature, mm-hmm. and then supplements, mm-hmm. with an S at the end of that, multiplesupplements.com, signaturesupplements.com.
Great. Appreciate this, Gary. It's been very interesting.
Oh, it's been great here. I look forward to watching or listening to your show, and thank you for having me on. I feel very honored by that.
Thank you, Gary.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining me for this program on natural ways to reduce or eliminate back pain. In the time left, I would like to tell you about my website and also another resource that may be of value to you. My website is www.holistichealthshow.com, and the day after each show, I place the show on my website in the blog. In addition, each Wednesday, I place the latest research on the topic of the series being discussed. For example, now it is back pain. Then every Friday, I place the latest research on cancer on my blog. I also have some ebooks for sale and one CD finished that will get on the site shortly on smoking cessation. Another is finished and will follow on a holistic approach to stress reduction and sleep. I also have a link to Dr. Gorelli's Allergy Elimination Diet. Dr. Gorelli is a naturopathic physician who uses the Allergy Elimination Diet successfully to treat a variety of conditions, including ADHD, anxiety, arthritis, asthma, autoimmune disease, brain fog, chronic congestion and earache, fatigue, gastrointestinal conditions, gastroesophageal reflux disease, headache, hormonal-related imbalances, insomnia, joint pain, and a variety of other diseases. This diet has been used by naturopathic doctors for decades, and in a great number of cases. And you'll find that by discovering and then eliminating the food sensitivities from your diet, you will improve your overall health, reduce your chronic health symptoms, and feel amazingly better. Find out more by going to www.allergyeliminationdiet.com or click on the link on my blog. I'm Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host, wishing you a good week.